Hello, hello, hello. How's everyone doing tonight?
Hello, hello.
I love it. Everyone's fired up, ready to vote.
Raise your hand if you've already voted. I see some voting. A lot of people. Wow. Okay, cool. Old people have voted. Yeah, that's what Gotham has told
me. I wasn't sure if I was a millennial or a Gen X, but I haven't voted yet, so that means I'm a millennial.
Oh, there you go.
Right, we should introduce ourselves. My name is Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd.
We are a married couple.
Gasp in the audience.
Gasp. We like to say that because we might talk about our children.
That's right.
We just want you to know that we got married years ago.
This show is called Not in My Backyard, and this is where we debate all the local issues and politics causing drama in Facebook groups all over the city, and probably next door too, but we don't check next door. It's too scary.
Can't do next door, can't do citizen. I have too much anxiety. Can't do it.
We have an excellent panel tonight. We have a council member here.
Such a good panel.
Very excited about that.
Yes.
We've got a legendary DJ here, and we've got a Daily Show writer here.
Yes.
But first, we like to quiz our audience. We typically have a very smart audience.
You guys look smart.
Yeah. So these first two questions, anybody can raise your hand to answer. But actually, I have a visual for this first one. If we can get slide number one up. Can you identify the celebrity riding the subway in these photos?
That's
see this
first.
That's
the number six train.
Tom Hanks is correct. You were also going to say
correct.
Tom Hanks.
That's correct. I mean, look, to be fair, if anybody asks you a celebrity question, you should guess Tom Hanks. He is America's dad.
That's pretty good undercover. I love that, like, the COVID face mask is just giving celebrities an excuse to cover their face in public.
Yeah.
Okay, question number two, unrelated to Tom Hanks in the subway. Can you name Curtis Sliwa's favorite New York City live music venue per his answer in last week's debate? Yes.
The Chainsmokers.
I'm sorry I didn't call on you.
Can you raise your hand if you've ever heard of that place before just now? I mean the band, sorry.
Yeah, did you know that it was a band?
No clue. No, I'll be honest, I have no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to name a place?
He saw a band at a venue, and instead of saying the venue name, he just said, Chainsmokers, EDM, which is the genre they perform in.
Okay.
All right,
Curtis.
Now it's time for our head-to-head quiz, and we're going to be looking for two volunteers. I'll give you preference if you want to come, but I'll tell you what it is first. If we could get slide number two up. Council member Keith Powers is a guest on the show tonight, and he represents District 4 in the council. And the question is, who can name the most neighborhoods in District 4?
Okay, don't shout it out. Don't shout it out. We want two volunteers to come up.
But we need two people to come on stage who think and who's
we're
going to
do a head-to-head battle.
Some of
You're
the
going to go back and forth, back
district.
And forth.
Are you in?
Yeah. Okay. All right, come on up.
All right, over here? Okay, all right. We've got two folks.
Love it. Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Come up on stage. Tell me, what's your name?
I'm Jill.
Jill.
What's your name?
Otto.
Otto?
Yeah.
Jill, what neighborhood do you live in?
I live in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Otto, where do you live?
Also in Brooklyn.
Also in Brooklyn, okay.
Here's a question. Have you ever been to Manhattan?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's right, we're here tonight.
Okay, so here's how it's gonna work. Take a good look at that map. It's the shaded blue area, District 4, Council District 4. And then Otto, we'll start with you, and you'll say a neighborhood that you think is in that district, and then you'll say one, and we'll go back and forth until you run out. Okay. All right, and no hints from the audience. Okay, here we go, Otto.
Kips Bay?
Kips Bay is correct.
Midtown East.
Yes.
Upper East Side.
Upper East Side is correct.
Lower East Side?
I'm sorry. Otto, how many more do you think you could say?
Turtle Bay?
Yes.
Yorkville?
Yorkville is not correct. Close to Yorkville. But give it up to Otto. Otto is our champion.
Now, we have a special prize for both of you. You both find us after the show. Both of you get tickets to next month's show free. So thank you for participating. Right. We'll hook you up.
Thank
You'll
you,
come
Otto.
Back.
Good job.
I forgot I used to live in Turtle Bay.
You did live in Turtle Bay.
Did.
When I met you,
I had to go to Turtle Bay. I had an apartment in Turtle Bay, and Charlie lived on the west side, and he thought it was too far.
That's not true. The E-train took me right there.
Yeah.
All right, who in the audience can shout out some neighborhoods that are
Murray Hill.
What was that?
Gramercy Park.
Maybe. No? Tudor City, correct. What was that? Alphabet City, no. No, because he stops like 14th. Hmm? Yorkville, we're saying no, because Yorkville's in 5.
I think.
Yeah. Stuyvesant and Peter Cooper Village, we would both count it.
There's a big one that everyone's missing. Times Square.
Midtown, part of Times Square.
Times Square, that is a neighborhood. Some people say, I live in Times Square.
The theater district, as it's also known. Beekman, anybody ever been to Beekman? That's an obscure one. Okay, let's give it up one more time for both of our contestants. Our next show, which they just won free tickets to, will be Wednesday, November 26th at 7 o'clock. And that is
the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So if you don't have Thanksgiving plans, come here to the UCB Theater at 7 o'clock, see our show. Follow us on Instagram for details on future shows at NIMBY_show. And subscribe to the podcast, too, or tell your friends who can't come see the show in person to listen to it on the podcast. Are you guys ready to meet our panel?
Are you ready to meet our panel?
All right, first up, he's a legendary DJ, comedian, and radio personality. You know him from Hot 97, Chappelle Show, and his stand-up. Give it up for the Bronx's own Cypher Sounds.
She's a writer for The Daily Show and the co-host of the Climate Deniers Playbook podcast. Please welcome Nicole Conlon.
He's the council member representing parts of the Upper and Middle East Side of Manhattan, as we just learned. Please welcome Keith Powers.
Woo!
Oh, yes. How did you feel? A lot of people knew some of your district stuff. That's pretty cool.
We got a lot more neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Check.
Okay. Keith, do you do a lot of constituent services in Beekman?
I love Beekman.
Okay.
Pause,
me or you?
Yeah, I don't know. What happened there? Where is Beekman?
Beekman is in the 40s, 50s. It's right next to Sutton Place. It's a really nice, small, quaint, very kind of off the grid, but very close to Midtown neighborhood. I was there. Had a great Halloween event this weekend, in fact.
All right. Well,
shout out to Beekman.
Give it up for Beekman. all right, we want to get started with a quirky story here. If we could have photo number 3 up, please. An off-leash teacup pig hanging out in Bushwick's Maria Hernandez Park went viral this month on TikTok. In New York City, it is illegal to keep a pig as a pet. An animal control expert told the New York Post, pig manure is especially odorous and may be problematic for neighbors, and pigs can come aggressive towards people. Pigs also need outside space and companionship of other pigs in order to thrive. Bushwick residents, however, seemed enamored with the viral pig. Should the pig be confiscated?
Confiscated? I'm sorry. We're going to murder the pig now? I don't know.
I didn't say killed.
That's true. Okay.
Confiscate's a bit rough. I mean, if it's not allowed, yeah, but confiscated sounds like there's like pet ice coming out of the pig.
The pig must be deported.
Yeah.
My great-grandmother lived on a pig farm, and she said pigs are awful.
So, awful?
Yeah, she said they're absolutely 100% horrible.
She had a farm of them, but
she
did
had
not
a
like
farm
them.
Of pigs. She said they're nasty and they're horrible creatures. Because I used to like little, like, you know, pig things when I was a kid. She was like, those fuckers are awful.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very anti-pig.
I got to be honest with you. If the argument is that pig poop smells like, I don't know if you've been to New York City recently, but I got a 90-pound dog and she doesn't smell great. How much worse are the pigs, really?
I also have to say that hearing the intro, I knew this was in Bushwick. I knew this was taking place in Bushwick. No offense to Brooklyn.
The citizens of Beekman would never.
The citizens of Beekman would never allow
Never.
This.
Well, I mean, I think it's hard. How are you gonna enforce this, you know? You can't go up to them and steal their pet. Like, you know, I don't know.
I think it's difficult. Confiscated is a
But the person must know the law. And don't bring your pig to the dog park. Like, keep your pig on the You know, put some ears on it and walk it like a cat.
You got to keep your illegal pig on the DL.
Exactly.
Don't flaunt it on TikTok.
Bring the pig to my dog park, and then my dog will be like, "Ooh, lunch."
Ah. There we go.
Solve the problem. Oh, you guys don't even know this pig.
That's
what
true.
Are you doing about?
All right, we've got a question about liquor licenses. The New York State Liquor Authority last month changed its policies to allow a wide range of adult-oriented recreational businesses to apply for liquor licenses. Now, I'm going to go through the types of businesses affected by the change, and I'd like the panel to say yes or no, or maybe, if it's a good idea for them to be allowed to serve alcohol. So these are businesses that I guess traditionally could not get liquor licenses in New York State. Laser tag.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Having a beer with the laser tag.
You should only do laser tag if there is alcohol involved.
I would say you should do psilocybin and laser tag. That seems more fun.
Go-kart tracks.
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Say yes.
Drinking and driving. We're all pro drinking and driving.
Environment.
Yeah, I think there's no better place to teach people that they're not actually good drivers when they're drunk.
Yeah, and they're probably like padded and stuff, you know?
Batting cages.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm shocked to learn that the people in batting cages aren't drunk now.
Yeah. No, they are drunk. They just couldn't buy the liquor.
They just brought it themselves. Okay, yeah. Got it.
They show up.
Yeah. All right, how about climbing gyms?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
Is there anywhere you aren't pro drinking?
Escape rooms.
Oh, hell yeah. Of course, they don't sell liquor in escape rooms?
Apparently not.
That would make it so much more fun, and I don't even drink.
All right. Well, it seems like we've got, a pretty permissive panel. Axe throwing is on here, too, but I thought axe throwing was already allowed.
Oh, yeah. I got drunk at an axe throwing bar once. Yeah. I got drunk in Brooklyn at an axe throwing bar. I think it's interesting. I will say, as a parent, I do have children. I think it's weird that parents are drunk all the time now. Like, when you walk into a movie theater, I went to the movies with my kids, and we like to do the like early morning, you know, get it over with. It was 9:30, and there were parents trying to order alcohol at 9:30 in the morning, watching the Minecraft movie.
How else are you supposed to get through the Minecraft movie with your children at 9:30
in
the morning?
I was drinking a coffee. No, it was very weird.
Movie theaters and airports, you can drink at any time.
At any time? Yeah. It's just like a lost... That makes sense. All right.
Yeah, you can drink.
The zoo? 9 a.m. at the zoo?
No, not the zoo.
They get drunk at 9 a.m. at the zoo. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Which zoo?
All the zoos.
I saw a lot of drinking at the Bronx Zoo last summer at, you know, like 11 a.m., a lot of Michelob Ultras flying around.
I'm sorry. Unless it's like the 4th of July, you got to eat lunch before you start drinking. 4th of July, I'll make an exception. That one day a year.
All right. We want to talk about the mayor's race. So we've had a lot of people who have voted here in our audience. Cody and I have not voted yet. We might vote tomorrow.
Don't know who I'm going to vote for.
Wait, you voted already?
I might write in my own name.
Early voting has started.
Early voting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nerds.
some news happened in the past week, which is Mayor Adams came out and endorsed Cuomo, who he had called a snake and a liar very recently. So that's happened. Cuomo on a radio show this week seemed to agree that Mom Donnie would cheer on another 9/11 break. I don't know, did anybody see the Maria Bartiromo interview with Cuomo? Oh my God, this was
crazy.
Disgusting. This was just today, and Maria's like, "Oh, do you think that all the women are going to be wearing hijabs after?"
She specifically was like, "If you go to London, everybody in London is all covered up," and I was like, "It's raining there." I think you're seeing umbrellas.
I was wearing
a hood and a raincoat when we were in London last summer, and it's because it was raining.
Maybe that's it, because I didn't see an unusual amount of women covering themselves when I was in London. There was the headline that our audience referenced that boomers and Gen X numbers are high in early voting numbers. Keith, you endorsed Zoran. How are you feeling? What do you think?
I think I speak for all New Yorkers. We want this election to be over immediately. It just got really ugly.
Yeah.
And we are talking about what should be optimism, one future and vision for the city ahead. We have a lot of crises we're facing. Not to get serious. I know it's an improv show, but it is like kind of getting really ugly, and I think everybody's ready to vote and get this thing over with and be ready to move on and actually have the city that we all want and deserve. It's gotten nasty and crazy, so I just, you know, it's exhausting right now.
Yeah. I think it's really telling. So Cuomo, he said he was joking, but in July he said that he would move to Florida if he didn't win. But does anybody think that Andrew Cuomo will live in this city if he loses? Maybe he's not going to Florida. He didn't leave here before he moved into his daughter's apartment.
I have a trivia question for you. What neighborhood in my district did he live in? Does he live in?
Oh,
Turtle Bay?
No. It's one unit name. Not Times Square. Nobody really.
Yeah, it's Sutton Place. Sutton Place. Yeah. Yeah. No, he moved into his daughter's apartment. He's been living in Westchester. He hasn't lived here in 32 years. There's no way he's going to stick around. He hates the city. And I think that's the thing that's most exciting about Mamdani is he likes the city. And he was asked the same question. I think he was asked on The Daily Show maybe last night, will you stay? And he's like, of course I'll stay here. I'm a New Yorker, you know? And I think that's one thing that's been so exciting about his candidacy is he clearly loves New York. He's all over the city. He did that scavenger hunt event that got people to travel all over the city, and there's just an excitement. To contrast with the federal government, particularly Trump, just shitting on cities nonstop, when it's the greatest city in the country, if not the world.
The world, my friend, the world. We got Beekman Place. Where else you got that?
Adam's endorsing Cuomo is very funny because it does feel like when like a friend of yours breaks up with her shitty boyfriend, and then you're like, he's a snake. I've never liked him. And then they get back together and you have to be like, he's great now. Cool.
Yeah, I wonder why he did that. Did Trump tell him to do that in contingent on whatever job he's about to get?
I think he probably got a round trip fare on Turkish Airlines.
Also, by the way, we wouldn't be here if Eric Adams did his job and was popular. He would be the mayor. Continue.
Yeah.
This whole situation is caused by the fact that people do not want him to continue to be the mayor.
Yeah, it's very easy to get reelected as mayor in New York City.
I find it interesting, too, like this whole concept of like who's a New Yorker. That is really interesting to me. Like the big attack from Cuomo is that Mamdani isn't a New Yorker, even though he went to New York City public schools. And he moved here when he was a child. And he's been here the whole time. But Cuomo, who's not lived in the city in however many years, decades, is a New Yorker because, what, he was born here and chose to leave?
Like, Saifa, you're a native New Yorker. Yeah. Keith, you a native New Yorker? Oh, Nicole?
100%.
No, not even a little.
Saifa, what do you think about somebody calling themselves a New Yorker? Is it after 10 years, or can you never be a New Yorker? Unless...
I think the day, as a non-native New Yorker, I think the day that you become a true New Yorker is the day that a full subway pulls into the station and one car is empty and you know not to go into that car. The day that you instinctively avoid the stink car is the day that you're like, I belong here now.
It doesn't have to be 10 years, it could vary, but you just have to embrace New York things. You can't move to New York and then try to get rid of New York stuff. You know what I'm saying? So if you move here and within a year, you're screaming at a homeless guy on the subway, you know what? You're a New Yorker.
You gotta embrace New York things. Yeah. You gotta go to the M&M store. You have to drink at Senor Frog's.
I have a question for you guys. So our two children are native New Yorkers, and I've been here for 21 years. Charlie's been here for 25. I think we count. I'm making myself count. But they think that hot dogs are not a New York thing.
They think hot dogs.
Our children, you're saying.
Why is that always on a thing? Why is a hot dog always on a thing?
I don't know.
Do you guys think it's like aging out? Do you think it's like an old New
York? Hot dogs have gotten a bad rap lately.
Yeah.
Because now they call them glizzies.
Glizzies?
Yeah. Have you ever heard that?
Glizzies? No.
They call them glizzies.
Glizzy, G-L-I-Z-Z.
Oh.
Yeah. So hot dogs.
No, I'm not on that. I'm not that corner of the internet. It hasn't caught up with me. I won't bring up the word glizzies to my middle schooler because I think he probably knows what that is and he'll make
fun of me. What glizzies are.
Yeah. I think another thing that makes Mamdani a New Yorker is how he gets around this city. And he was interviewed by Wired last week and asked if it was harder for him to get around the city now with his fame and security concerns. And I thought his response was really beautiful. I want to quote what he said. He said, it doesn't mean that you stop taking the train, that you stop biking, that you stop taking the bus. I think the way you move around the city, it influences the way in which you see the city. And too often, if you're riding around only in a car with tinted windows, the only New Yorker you might see is a reflection of yourself. I thought, like, when I heard him say that, I was like, whoa. Oh my God. I mean, I ranked Brad Lander number one, but I am all in for this guy from that quote. I mean, my God, like, but, you know, de Blasio, who we had for 8 years, would get into a caravan of SUVs to go from Gracie Mansion to the Park Slope Y, because that's the Y he grew up going to and felt most comfortable in, to get on a stationary bike and work out. And de Blasio got on a city bike like one time, and that man is so tall. I don't think the city bike fit him. It was very awkward.
Yeah, let's keep those people to him.
But, you know, just, you know, Mamdani, we've said on the show before, he has thousands of city bike miles under his belt. He takes the bus. He takes the subway. Cuomo drives a Dodge Charger and double parks it on 8th Avenue to go to a rally. And I think that's all you need to know about the two of them.
Maybe the next mayor should be picked based on city bike mileage.
Well,
if you want it so bad, you got to cycle for it till your legs fall
off. I love
off.
That.
Yeah. Zoran so has quite a lot of city bike miles.
You want your mayor to roll around in public transportation.
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. I do like that. I want them to be like all of us.
I don't take public transportation.
You don't. But, Saifa, you grew up in the Bronx. You grew up taking public transportation.
I grew up, yes.
Yeah.
Last time I was on a train, I had to fight a bunch of ninth graders.
Yeah. What started the fight?
Because they recognized me. I'm very famous in New York. To a small group of people.
But there's 9 million people, so that's still a lot of people, whatever that group
is. They recognized me from the radio, and it
was
super
cool. Wait, how do you recognize someone from the radio?
Hey, I had billboards.
I'm here for any story where you are fighting your fans.
No, I literally had to fight these kids. They were first excited to see me, and then he was like, yo, my cousin raps, can you take his demo? And I was like, I can't take it because then we can get accused of stealing it, so you have to send it the proper way. And he was like, shut the fuck up.
And ninth grader?
Eighth and ninth grader.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I said, listen, he's, sorry. I'm off track this day.
That's okay.
The kid goes, he goes, we're gonna fuck you up. I go, you're gonna fuck me up, but I'm taking one of you with me. And they started hitting me, and I hit a couple, and then the train doors opened. And I backed up, and I was like, don't get off the train.
That devolved quickly.
Yeah, it was quick. It was fast.
That was like a really fast.
Have you met Dominican middle schoolers?
Now, Saifa.
We have a middle schooler, so yes.
Saifa,
so
when the guy's cousin sent that demo through the proper channels, did you listen to it?
It was fire.
All right, we want to talk about the ballot measures.
Just a quick show of hands. Well, who's very confident with their ballot measure vote?
Okay, good. All right. All right, so let's...
Are the rest of you confused?
There's some confusion here. I'm not totally sure on all of them. So let's kind of pull the audience here. Ballot number one allows skiing and related trail facilities on a state forest preserve land. I'm not going to get into it.
This feels crazy that we get to vote on.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you were yes on one. Okay. Was anybody no on one? Okay. One person,
yes
no on one.
No.
I have a friend who voted no on one. Keith, you got an opinion on ballot one?
I support it.
You support it. Okay. It seems like it's a shitty thing that happened where they built in some forever wild lands, but they've already done it. And it's kind of
a
compromise.
They totally realized they screwed something up.
Yeah.
And they are now trying to fix it.
So it's an oopsies.
It's a big oops.
It's okay, so the next...
It's very funny to me as somebody from Colorado that's like, oh, you guys want a little more wedge to build your little ski slopes. Oh, they're so small. So you can have them. It's fine. There's like 30 days left in the ski season. It's climate change is coming for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't snowed in New York City in 30 years.
Yeah, barely. Okay, I'm going to lump the next three together because I think people probably generally voted the same on them. So these are the fast-tracking affordable housing and the simplifying the review of affordable housing. So for 2, 3, and 4, who was a yes on that? Okay, all right, we've got some yes in my backyards the house.
And who's the no?
Were there any no's? Okay, got a no.
Who's a say
gotta
what
know.
Now?
I don't know.
Yeah. Say what now?
I'm in the New York Times today supporting.
So I noticed, Keith, a lot of, I mean, Mamdani has not taken a position yet because this is a bit of a divisive issue maybe, and he doesn't want to alienate anybody. I'm not sure. Cuomo is for, Sliwa is against. But it seems
Zoran's housing gal? Housing administrator? I don't know what her title is, but she is for. I think housing gal is it. Yes.
She's yes. Yeah. So maybe he's yes and just, I mean, it's going to benefit him as the mayor, I think, for all of these things. But Keith, I think a lot of people, first of all, the council has been sending me a lot of letters, which seems illegal, telling me how to vote. I don't know if you can speak on that, but I feel like a lot of, you're leaving the council after 8 years. But there are not a lot of council members who are sticking their neck out and saying, you know, let's vote yes on 2, 3, 4. You want to talk on its behalf?
I believe I might be the only council member who's actually on the record in support. I grew up in the city. The rents are out of control. It is like $4,500, $5,000 a month to live in my district in like a one bedroom on average. Nothing's working. So why not actually change how we're doing things in the city, take away all the political parochial stuff about getting more housing built, and actually try to drive down the cost of living in the city? You're right, it's going to give more power to the mayor, but the likely mayor is going to be somebody who I think cares about affordability in the near future, and we should accelerate getting affordable housing built. I don't see how we're going to tackle the cost of living in the city pretending that we're continuing to do the same things over and over again. It feels crazy to me.
Nicole, let's give an applause break.
With the review board, there still is a check and balance. It's not just the mayor gets to say, yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah, it's, the community board still have a say. It's just, you know, if there's a thing called member deference to get really wonky where the one member can tank something in their own backyard, even if everybody agrees that we need it.
Which they need to do because they can't get reelected if they put something that their constituents don't want, but we all think is good.
Yeah.
Right.
Nicole, you were a yes. Have you already voted?
I haven't voted because I'm actually not registered in the state of New York.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
But people ask me about it because I...
It's a good thing you whispered that because definitely no one would hear.
I know. Nobody heard.
You voted in Colorado?
I voted in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I spent half the year in each place. Because as somebody with not as much emotional connection to New York, I figure I'll let the real New Yorkers vote on.
Who the fuck's the mayor where you live in Colorado?
Okay, so
Denver has a good mayor.
This is also bad. Where I live in Colorado is unincorporated, so it's not actually a city. So I've never voted for a mayor.
Well, we appreciate that you're voting for the senator, senators, and congresspeople in Ohio.
I voted for Lauren Boebert. Definitely. No, that's not true. When people ask me about it, I am yes on.
2, 3, 4.
Okay. Because when I was getting my master's degree in urban planning at USC, you have to sit in a lot of housing meetings, and I worked for LADOT for a while, and seeing how much any stop in the process will slow things down for like a decade if you're trying to make the smallest change that truly you just want to make the community a better place. Expediting that process and putting fewer barriers to building housing, I think, is like really important. I don't think that these measures are like perfect, but I think they're definitely better than what we have now.
Yeah. Well, good. All right. More applause.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
The most controversial one.
Yeah, the real
digital maps.
Yeah.
Who's got a real opinion?
Was anyone against digital maps? Okay. All right.
Paper forever.
Digital maps for what?
So the fifth ballot measure, Saifa, is to create this. There's these maps that exist in the borough president's office of each borough that officially, like the official maps of the city, and they want to make them digital. So it's an easy yes. Although I do think it's kind of cool that you have to go to like the map room.
There is a map room. You go to the borough president. There's like a map room, and you got to like pull them out and like figure out what's going on.
Are there like cartographers who are like, we can't allow this?
I don't know. Well, I would be curious to see what the vote margin on that one is. Okay. I want to see like the 3-4% that really have decided this is a
Maps
bad idea.
Maps are their number one. It's Rand and McNally are the two voters.
I mean, to be fair, I have been paid, just full disclosure, I've been paid by Big Map to not support this bill. Big Map.
All right, the last one, I think the last one is the trickiest. Move the city's primary and general election dates so that the city elections are held in the same year as federal presidential elections when permitted by state law.
This?
Yeah, okay. I've seen a lot of hands for switching to even years. And who's against it? One? Okay. I might be against it, so I've heard good arguments on both sides. The argument for moving to even years that's persuasive is more people will vote. It will save millions of dollars by not. We have so many elections here between all of our state, local, and federal primaries. And that it'd be more turnout's good, making it easier to vote's good. But an argument that on the side of no that I've heard is that, let's take this year for example, let's hope, knock on wood, Zoran wins. And then next year, Kathy Hochul is up for re-election, so she needs him. So that gives the city some power that we have our new mayor with a mandate on the odd year election, and then on the even year election, the governor kind of has to. But now that could be bad if, like, Giuliani is the mayor and the,
well,
you know.
Yeah, the other thing is just, like, chaos in the ballot, that the city races and the state races can operate differently. We have ranked choice. You don't have ranked choice. That's, like, the other arguments I've heard from people.
Yeah. Do you have a position on it, Keith?
I've been supportive of it because I do think at the end of the day, turnout and driving up turnout is really the ultimate best thing for us. But I am sensitive to those arguments around chaos on the ballot and what it means to kind of have this, like, very complicated ballot. Plus, just like all these races happening at the same time and really losing the ability to track individual races. But end of the day, like, we got to get more people out to vote. It's ultimately that is for the best. And that's why I think ultimately it's a good idea.
Makes sense.
I think we've solved it.
All right. We got to move on from the ballot proposals.
Doing. Yeah.
All right. Cody,
you want to switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
We want to talk about legalizing mushrooms. There's a bill in Albany that would legalize psilocybin for health purposes, not for funsies. It would allow anyone age 18 or older to get a permit to possess and ingest psychedelic mushrooms if they have any of a broad range of conditions, ranging from anxiety, insomnia, cancer, terminal illnesses. Should magic mushrooms be legal? Saifa, do you have an opinion on that?
I don't do anything. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I'm all for it if it helps people, but I know how people are and they're gonna abuse it. But they abuse it anyway, so I always get torn about, like, if the taxes help the schools. They did that in Colorado with the weed. They said the schools were bumping with money after they legalized weed.
It's been so long, I'm trying to remember. Yes, I think it ultimately was good.
Yeah. Are mushrooms legal in Colorado?
Yeah.
They're in that gray zone right now.
They're in the, like,
they're
medical?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But 18, though?
18.
So you can do mushrooms, but you can't get a drink?
That does feel weird,
that's crazy.
Right? Although, I think one would argue that alcohol has no therapeutic benefits. Like, no one's going to be like, you've got anxiety, go drink. That'll help.
Wait, are you serious about that? Like, everybody I know, that's what they do.
Doctors?
No.
Yeah, no doctors, no.
I do think that maybe the person who needs to experience ego death the most in the world is a teenage boy. That might be good for them.
You're not wrong. I'm for it.
So, if those boys on the train had been on mushrooms, would they have tried to hit you?
Right.
Maybe
exactly.
Not. Or you could have won very easily.
Is weed legal?
Weed is.
It's decriminalized.
No,
weed is legal.
But not to 18-year-olds.
I think it's 21.
It's 21.
Yeah. Keith, what do you think about the rollout of legal weed? Has it?
I mean, it was.
It was really bad at
it
first.
It was really bad. Yeah. It's gotten better. I mean, the law was created, and then there was no system put in place to actually make it legal and sold. So we got this insane, you know, all the illegal stores opening up, and everybody was complaining about it. And the people who rightfully were trying to get it and get the license were obviously really frustrated because this whole market opened up. So totally botched from the beginning. I think it's in a better spot now. I think it's operating a lot closer to where it should have been. But it was a very, very bad rollout from the beginning.
So if we legalize mushrooms, hopefully we won't have 2 years of illegal mushroom stores all over our neighborhoods.
So here's the I'll play devil's advocate here. All the cool people who are going to do mushrooms are already doing mushrooms.
Good point.
That means that the only people left in the mushroom game are, like, business people. And so all we're going to get, it's like how every weed store now is like, what if we made weed look like an Apple store? And it like isn't, it's not fun. So I think the corporate mushrooms are going to have a very different effect.
Yeah.
I think instead of being like, oh, I understand my trauma, it's going to be like, oh, I can do marketing now. And it's that, right. I just don't think.
So maybe we have, I don't know that they're going to be as good. There'll be a panel. Maybe all of us will be on the panel. We'll decide if you're cool enough.
Yes, perfect.
Or if you truly do have some sort of medical purpose. And then we can decide. That makes sense.
I have most of those medical issues that you listed. So I should do it, but I'm scared.
I also don't drink and I don't do anything. My body, anytime I consume a substance, my body identifies it as poison and tries to eliminate it.
It is poison. Yeah.
My husband made me do mushrooms with him one time, and I had to lie flat on the floor. I got so sick that I was like, I just have to lie flat on the floor for 8 hours.
Yeah,
and
no thanks. The only thing I do is drink at 9 a.m. at the zoo. That's all right.
We've got another housing question. If we could have photo number 4 of the church to apartment conversion. So this is a church by McGorlick Park in Greenpoint that has been converted into housing, and locals are not happy with the design.
What do you mean?
The apartments went on the rental market this month with a 2-bedroom going for $7,500 and a 4-bedroom going for $12,500. While the facade design does look pretty bad, especially with the random off-center window above the door, should we be celebrating more housing?
So wait, the designer of this was on mushrooms. Yeah. That's right?
For sure. Wait, so they're mad just about the design?
Yeah, I mean, a church was converted into housing, and the church is on the left, the housing is on the right. For the listeners, it looks pretty bad. There's a random window that's off center.
It looks pretty bad, but I am wondering if there are building regulations that made it so that like that was the only way that legally they could push it through.
I don't know why is it like that. I don't understand. Like,
do you think it's because certain units had to have windows in certain places?
Yeah.
But what the hell is with the middle one? Why does it have a window?
Yeah, but also
on one
just
side?
Create like you could create three. Like, you like all windows going across. Like you can fill it in.
Oh,
like,
something's back there, obviously. I don't mind it. It looks a little like, it doesn't look like a generic building. It has like a cool.
But
like,
why did they paint it that weird color?
It's cream.
It's cream. Yeah, it's just cream color.
A church shouldn't be cream.
I mean, look, we've got a lot of churches in this city, and we don't have enough housing. So I'm generally pro church. I'm also not religious, so I'm pretty pro church to housing conversion. But I agree that this was maybe not the best architectural choice.
I don't mind it. It's like that when you go to Spain, what's that Spanish designer?
Gaudi?
Yeah, it looks like a Gaudi.
Have you seen a Gaudi before?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good Gaudi.
But I'm actually trying to wonder if they did that as like a thing to then draw attention to themselves and then therefore market themselves. But I don't think so. I think it's just somebody really screwed up.
I love this. This is so New York. It's like standing next to this other beautiful building. It's like, all right, we'll just slap some windows on this shit. It's fine.
My first DJ gig ever was at the Limelight, which was a church.
Oh, I remember the Limelight in Chelsea.
A church turned into a disgusting nightclub, so I'm all for this.
You know what this looks like? This looks like when you go to a new apartment and the landlord has clearly just painted another layer of white paint. This looks like, fine, we take it outside now.
New
I'm fine with it.
I want to actually skip to one more amazing housing thing. Just in time for Halloween, an abandoned 19th century mansion in Ditmas Park is on the market.
This is photo number 5. Yeah.
The 8,000 square foot home is priced at $2.6 million, and it's a quick six minute walk to the Q or the B trains. Would you live here if given this property for free?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, big time, yes.
Hell yeah.
100%.
I have a script I want to film there. It is just a reboot of Scooby-Doo.
Now, this is very much the Haunted Mansion from Disney World. Pretty creepy and decrepit looking.
You would live there as is, no renovations?
As is?
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, no, not as is.
You have
no,
to live there during the renovation. How about that? Would you take that deal?
You gotta paint it cream.
Add a couple windows off center. Yeah. You're good.
No, this could be done. You watch. Come on, we all watch HGTV. You can make this nice.
I don't know if there are good bones in this house, but
it's also got a weird like plantation era front. It doesn't look good. Doesn't look like it's got a good history.
I don't know. You guys are turning up your nose at a like a big beautiful house 5 minutes from the queue.
Yeah, it is 8,000 square feet.
Yeah.
I don't know about 2.6 million, but all right. Another housing adjacent, literally adjacent issue, which is sidewalk sheds. Last week, a sidewalk shed and scaffolding that had stood for 19 years at 51 West 86th Street finally came down. The city's brickwork inspection laws that result in scaffolding covering sidewalks stem from an incident in 1979 where a Bernard student was struck and killed by a piece of terracotta that fell from the eighth story of a building on West 115th. Is there any acceptable risk of death that we could all trade for not having scaffolding on buildings 19 years at a time? Zoran is promising to address this issue where Adams has not, using the bill that you passed, Keith, and the council. I think it was your bill. Can you talk a little bit about that? And what can we do to not have our building is having Local Law 11 scaffolding right now, and we're months into it, and it's miserable. What can we do?
It's insane. I mean, when I became a city council member, I literally had a coffee shop owner come up to me and be like, they're putting scaffolding up. I'm done. I'm dead. Then people are not going to buy coffee at my place anymore and so forth. And I started to look into it, and I thought it was going to be this thing where, like, scaffold lobby of New York City had a stranglehold on the city council, or, you know, somebody had an investment in it. There was no opposition. There was, like, no opposition. Nobody, people just didn't do anything about it for years. So I actually introduced all these bills we got in pass that changed the whole regime of how we do scaffolding in the city. Then Zoran has come out in support of them. Eric Adams actually did do stuff on this. I want to give him credit. But it was one of these things where you thought there was like some big bad thing holding us back, and it was just laziness.
But question, how are you going to stop buildings from falling on my head?
So that's a great question. No buildings will fall on your head.
Okay.
When they did it in 1979, it was in the 80s, they just made up the five-year thing. They didn't consider what the actual building would be like, when's the last time they did work on it, what the conditions of the existing building are, anything like that. So we said, you should start looking at the actual conditions of the building, when it was built, what's made of, things like that, so they can actually nuance this conversation a little bit. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to start looking at the actual building and the conditions of it. They're also, when you put it up, they're going to start telling you, if you don't take it down, we're going to start giving you penalties over time, so that
and
you
actually collecting the penalties.
And actually collecting the penalties. Nice. So that
is that the problem, that the scaffolding goes up, and then it's cheaper to keep the scaffolding up than to do the brickwork?
And do the work. So if you extend this, we're only going to extend it a couple of years, but it's not going to be things falling in the sky. And then we're going to say you can put pressure on them to actually do it. That means it'll move a lot faster. You don't get 19 years, you don't get 20 years, 10 years, whatever it is.
Because, you know, we just have a building from the 80s that we live in, but you put the scaffolding up, it takes 6 months, and then like 4 years later, you got to get the inspection again. So yeah, that could be 7 years or 10 years.
You know those like Con Ed cones that they put up over the steam pipes, and the steam pipe comes out of them? That's my next thing. I got to figure out how we tackle what is going on with that steam pipe smoke thing that you see in movies. Because that's like the other New York City thing I don't really understand.
But that is such a trope in movies, if you get rid of it.
I know. That's why I don't want to do it. It's like the New York City, the hot dog stand.
Yeah.
And the smoke thing.
We're going by the wayside.
Is it pee? Is it just...
It's not pee. It's steam.
I was just about to say...
But steam from what?
Non-New Yorkers, when they see that, they're like, what is happening? And New Yorkers are like, it's always happening. We don't know. It's just...
But those are the things I love, like trying to figure out, like scaffolding. I was like, why is this up? Why is this everywhere? Yeah. And then we just start to look
at it. Well, steam powers a lot of our buildings, and steam is extremely hot. And when there is a steam leak, they put those little hats on them, those cones, so you don't walk over it and burn yourself.
Steam still to this day powers a lot of buildings.
A lot of buildings, yeah. Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There's a lot going down underneath the
I know. You ever stand on one of those grates and look down and you see like...
Seifa had a Marilyn Monroe moment the other day.
It's like, oh, we don't live on the ground. The ground is down there.
Yeah.
Woo, what's going on down there?
So switching topics, Gothamus reports that the MTA plans to stop accepting coins on its buses at some point next year as it retires the MetroCard and moves over to the Omni system. Was anyone aware that coins were still accepted?
No.
Yes, because every time I get on the bus, I'm behind somebody who's paying with, like, nickels, and I have to wait.
I mean, nickels, you're lucky. I've been behind pennies before. No, I'm like, geez. And the guy's just like, just go, just go.
Like, that's 8 quarters and 9 dimes to get on a bus. Yeah. That's complicated.
Yeah.
That's
I think you should still be allowed to pay with coins if you're, like, a fancy lord with a velvet coin purse.
I bet it's a scheme. I bet if you show up on the bus with a coin bag, 9 times out of 10, the bus driver's like, keep it moving. I don't want it. Yeah. Just keep going. So then they just get to keep their change. It's like having an Omni card.
I get very weird about places that don't accept cash or coins. Mm-hmm. Like, this says legal tender. How can you tell me you won't accept this?
Yeah, yeah.
What about old people that don't have smartphones?
That's true. Do you ever try to pay?
It actually is illegal in New York City.
What?
You have to accept cash.
You have to, right?
But places don't do it.
Some places that want to get froyo, they're like, no, we don't take cash. I'm like, you have to take cash.
Some places have a reverse ATM where you could put your cash into the ATM and it'll give you like a little debit card to be able to go buy your froyo.
Everything is Chuck E. Cheese now. Everything is like, I'll give you my real currency for your fake proprietary currency.
All right, I want to talk about Trump trying to halt transportation projects in New York City.
We try not to talk about Trump, but he just comes over and gets his nose in our business.
And Keith, you and I were both at a rally for this last week, so I want to hear the latest. First we had the Trump administration taking away $19 billion in federal funding for New York City infrastructure projects due to DEI. That's why he needed to take away $19 billion. Then Trump was canceling the Gateway Tunnel, or trying to cancel it because he's mad at Schumer. And then the administration demanded that work on the 34th Street busway immediately stop. So Keith, you were a big architect behind getting the 34th Street busway done, along with the Midtown South rezoning project. So what is up with Trump weighing in on traffic patterns on one street in Midtown? This seems incredibly not what the president should be concerning himself with.
I could not agree more. It's just trolling. It's just the trolling of us. This street right out here on 14th Street is actually a similar busway. It moves buses a lot quicker and up and down. That's what 34th Street's going to be. But they just decided to automatically say no. It's just a trolling. They just find ways all the time to figure out how to use one little provision of the something to say they can't do it. It's just screwing with New York City. It's because they can.
But can they? That's what I'm confused about.
What?
How are they able to stop it? Is it just because Adams was like, okay, they said to stop it?
They issued a letter that basically cited all these very technical provisions of the law. They called it a highway. They say 34th Street's a highway. It's not a highway. It's the slowest place on earth. It's like
Macy's.
What's the anti-highway?
On the highway?
They have like, it's if you want to stop something at the federal, you can do it because you can cite any sort of law provision. We're fighting it. We're asking the governor to keep going and the city to keep going forward with it. So we're going to ask them just to go in defiance of it. Because
but they're not funding it, are they?
They're not funding it, but they control a lot of funding to New York City. So anytime you pick a fight with them, you risk.
Who's they?
Trump, the Federal Transit Administration, and Trump.
Doesn't Trump, he's a New Yorker. He doesn't care about what happens in New York?
He actually cares because he wants to torture everyone in New York because we don't like him.
Oh, my days.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But this particular corridor, I mean, it's some of the slowest buses. Keith, you held another rally where there was like some one council member was walking and one was riding the bus. And the walker, Eric Botcher, won.
Tourist corridor, too. Huge tourist corridor.
Yeah, but if you go upstairs on 14th Street, I mean, there's so many benefits to it. Not only the buses going fast, but it's just quiet. Like, the air is cleaner.
It's just
a nice corridor to walk down, so hopefully we'll get it. Okay, I want to talk about a major thing that's happening this weekend that's going to affect everybody in this room.
This is your favorite topic.
Is the end of daylight savings time. So this week, the clock fell back, and we got an extra hour, or this week, the clock will fall back, and we'll get an extra hour of sleep. But the sun will also be setting before 6 p.m. Actually, I think before 5 p.m. Right? What was sunset today?
It's like 4-something, I think. Yeah.
I think it's going to be like 4:55.
Yeah.
So history shows that next week there will be increased deaths, increased traffic violence, heart attacks, and workplace accidents.
What?
Yeah.
Facts.
Every year, because of the circadian rhythms and because of everybody being a little bit off, more people have heart attacks, more people get into car crashes.
You know what? Worth it.
And
worth it for that extra hour of sleep.
Wow.
Worth it.
But so Marco Rubio famously sponsored a bill in the Senate called like the Sunshine Act to stay on permanent daylight time. And the Senate passed it, and then the House never took it up. And this was under Biden. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think it would be a good win for Rubio and Trump if they pushed it through.
Would you vote for Marco Rubio when he runs for president?
No, I would not. But so what does everybody think? Is the extra hour of sleep we're about to get worth the 4:55 sunset?
No, absolutely not.
I'm the unpopular one in the room, and I love it. I love it when it gets dark early. I wish it would be dark. I should move to one of those Norwegian towns where there's like an hour of sunlight a day. That's my dream.
Would you
scenario.
Be okay with permanent standard time where we never change the clock in the other direction? Because some people argue for that.
Wait, yes.
Just like we fall back this weekend and then we never
and then
change
we
it again.
Stay there.
That means it gets dark at 8 o'clock in the summer, which is, you know, reasonable. But it does mean long winters and dark falls and dark springs.
Anybody, I think I'm
up for more sunlight.
Anybody that is a parent doesn't care what you do; they just hate the change.
Yeah.
If you have children and you have to retrain them to wake up at a certain time, it is awful.
I will say it's been harder to wake up the last few days because it is becoming increasingly dark. We wake up around 7 a.m. and it's pretty dark at 7 a.m. So I get that argument too. Keith, what do you think?
Well, first of all, the fact that we're doing this switchback in 2025 is, to me, feels great. It just feels like, why is the House like, what is their big daylight lobby that's like stopping the House from voting on this thing? I want the daylight like at the end of the day. I want to be coming home from work and
permanent daylight time.
Yeah, I want the daylight later in the day because it, I feel like it lifts your spirits up more.
What is the real reason for the change? No one ever has the right answer.
I mean,
and you got glasses, so you look smart.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess it used to be farmers, but I think it's some people. People who get up early and take their kids at 6 a.m. don't want to do it in the dark. I guess. I mean, that's one argument for it. I don't know.
Wait, so next week is going to be...
Next week it'll be more light when you wake up. Yeah.
But it'll get dark.
So there's some benefits to that.
I hate going in somewhere at like 6 p.m. and coming out at 8 p.m. and it's still light out. That's the most disorienting thing.
I love that.
Oh, God.
If there's anything in my life that I feel strongly about, it is that is a good thing.
It is nice. You see an outdoor concert in Manhattan in the summer and it stays light until like 9:30. It's still twilight. It's nice.
I never knew people were so torn on this. It's a big ticket issue.
It is. I guess it's
a single issue voter.
I guess it's not a slam dunk.
Keeping daylight savings time, keeping the switch does seem like the only way for the two of us to reach a compromise.
Yeah.
It was like the true worst compromise of settling a debate.
I guess, if you're trying to see why this has happened, it clearly was a compromise between pro-sunlight and anti-sunlight lobbies.
Yeah.
There also, I will say, there's some parts of the country where you live like all the way to the far west side of a time zone or the far east side of the time zone where you have very different opinions on it. I want to talk about the best airport in the United States of America. It's been named the best airport.
This is bullshit.
2 years in a row, LaGuardia.
Ow.
Have you been there lately?
No, I know they redid it.
Yeah.
It looks nice, but it can't be the best.
Now, Cuomo paid for a singing fountain that Zoran called out. Yeah.
Were you there during the times of the Spirit Airline terminal just like leaking mystery water on you and nothing but like a Dunkin' Donuts cart?
I want it to be better, of course, and they made it a lot better. There's no way it's the best.
I think you're underestimating how bad other airports are.
I guess.
You travel a lot for work. Denver, what do you think is the best?
Denver Airport got a story.
Denver Airport's haunted.
Yeah.
It's not haunted. There are aliens there.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
Oh. Grow up.
What if haunting is aliens?
Okay, see, now this is interesting.
Right. Oh.
What we have perceived as ghosts this whole time
You watched the end of Battlestar Galactica?
Are you going to spoil the end of Battlestar Galactica for our audience?
Oh, sorry.
It was a ghost all along.
I'll spoil the end of that show. It never made sense. They never had a plan, nor did the writers. That's my take. Keith, can we get a dedicated bus lane from the Roosevelt stop on the subway to LaGuardia? I think that's what's missing.
I want to talk about free buses. I want a free bus from Manhattan to LaGuardia. It is so hard to get there. I'm sorry if you don't know. But why is it so crazy to get to, I mean, there should be a subway, there should be many other ways, but it is, to me, it is beautiful, by the way, and it is great, and it is worth flying out of and everything. But for us in Manhattanites, it is probably the closest for many of us, and I wish it was free, easy, quicker, any one of those, maybe two or three to get to LaGuardia.
I mean, the N train should just keep going down Detmars Boulevard.
And there is a bus. I'm not like discounting the bus.
Yeah, but
something
that
like
bus.
For the downtown.
We take Cody and I take the LaGuardia Link with our children,
and
it's great.
It's great, but then on when it's busy, you're just like, why in the hell am I sitting in traffic? I'm on a bus. There should be a lane that just
I like the idea of it speeding.
Oh. And that all it takes, you can do that for a couple $1,000 in paint and some cones, and there you go.
It's easier to get to Rikers Island.
We do not go there with our children.
Yeah.
In general.
It's actually kind of even. But that's a problem. That feels like
that's
a problem.
True.
The bus to Rikers is free.
Yeah, it's free.
There's a free bus to Rikers.
No, there's some bad baby mamas on that bus.
All right, if we could get photo number 6 here. There's a 2023 city council law that is going into effect and mandating this warning label start appearing around the city. Does anybody know what this new warning label means?
Cocaine.
Cocaine, someone guess?
Yeah, it's not a cocaine spoon.
That's how much cocaine guess. You do? That's crazy.
Sugar is correct. Sugar. So it's a new sugar warning. So restaurants with at least 15 locations have to start putting a sugar warning symbol up this month next to menu items with 50 grams of added sugar, which is by itself the maximum daily amount of sugar recommended in federal dietary guidelines. Is this kind of warning helpful?
I got to say, whoever was a council member that introduced this law, great council. Great. It was me.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think it's a great idea. You go into the morning, you get like one of these latte things, and that's the official term of it. And they're packed. They're way over the sugar content you should be having in a daily day. But people don't really know that. They don't pay attention.
I know I'm drinking a milkshake at 9 in the morning.
I know, but I want that reminder. Because not everybody does, and I feel like it's a good just to get a little bit of a reminder. You could do it. You should feel guilty when you do it.
I appreciated the language of the bill, which is this: the height of this triangle has to be at least as tall as the tallest letter in the name of the menu item. I thought that was clever, so you can't make it like little tiny thing.
Oh, that is very clever.
Yeah.
It's good, so hopefully our children, well, they can read now, but when they couldn't read, you could be like, this is bad. This isn't good for you.
I think this is sort of just a beacon for children to be like, that's the one. That's the one with the most sugar in it.
Speaking of kids, I want to talk about city bike age verification. So after requests from First Deputy Mayor Randy Mastro, also known as Rudy Giuliani's former lawyer, Lyft is implementing measures to verify the age of city bike riders to enforce the rule that you must be 16 to ride the bikes. Is 16 the right age to ride a city bike?
I think so. I actually debated whether I want the verification to begin with because we want people to use it. But I did hear from some parents who wanted something. 16 seems reasonable to me.
I will say that we know an 11-year-old who rides city bike who is our son.
He's tall.
Our son's friend, and we were skeptical at first. He rides with his dad is on another
and
city
not
bike,
an e-bike. I think there should absolutely be a.
Oh yeah, they're
limit
with you.
I think
different.
Yeah. I get the idea of not wanting a bunch of 13-year-old kids set loose in the city biking the wrong way on a city bike, particularly an e-city bike. But this particular kid rides with his dad. He's a pretty tall kid. I looked at him on the bike the other day. I was skeptical, but I was like, that bike looks like it fits you. And the advantages of a city bike is we live in you know, this kid lives in Manhattan. He doesn't have a place to store a bike, right? Doesn't have a yard, doesn't have a garage. And just to be able to like grab a bike on the go to get to get to flag football as he was doing, pretty useful. So maybe I would say with parental, with parental chaperoning, that maybe it should be loud.
Yeah, because the middle school kids too, I mean, Sypha, you know, you've seen some of these eighth graders, they're huge.
Yeah, I think with your parents is fine. You know what I mean? It's like a rated R movie, right?
Right.
You gotta be 17 and with a parent.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy.
Yeah, we let our kids smoke. He sees rated R movies, but we're not sure about
rides
the city.
Rides the subway.
Actually, our kid does ride the subway and takes the bus by himself now because he's a city kid. It's terrifying.
All right, one more bike question, which is e-bike speed limits are in the news. That just went into effect.
They're always in the
news. Getting some boos from the crowd. The city's new 15-mile-an-hour speed limit for electric bikes and scooters went into effect last week. Gothamist reports that regular bikes are not subjected to the speed limit change and continue traveling at 25 miles an hour because they are lighter devices compared to e-bikes. What does the panel think about the 15-mile-an-hour limit for e-bikes? City bikes were also changed from 18 miles an hour to 15 miles an hour recently.
Well, first of all, that made me feel bad about how slow I ride a regular bike. I'm certainly not riding a bike at 25 miles per hour.
Some guys in Central Park in the morning definitely are. But Keith, do you have a take on this? I know it's controversial.
It's a controversial. I mean, look, it's the number one issue we hear about from people all the time, and I do actually. Everybody's got to slow down. Let me just start by saying that. The one thing that I think resonated with me from a lot of people who do bike in the city, who you know are following the rule of the road, they're like, there are times you have to accelerate to get past traffic and things like that, and that is about safety. And while I do generally want everybody to kind of slow down, like I don't also. I think the one thing that persuaded me that, you know, putting a hard and fast thing is that, like, if you were trying to ride yourself out of safety, you shouldn't get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to put people in an unsafe situation.
Yeah, we have an e-bike that we use to take our second grader around. We'll take him to a birthday party down in Chelsea on an e-bike this weekend probably. And there's times when I'm riding with him, and it's a bike that can go faster than 15. And if there's no bike lane and I have to take the lane and there's an angry driver behind me and I don't want that driver to pass me because it's going to be a close pass, I want to go 20 miles an hour, you know, just to stay in front of him. But what I will also say is that we passed Sammy's Law in Albany, which allows us to control our speed limits on our streets, and we can lower our speed limits as lower as 20 for drivers. And I think that 20 is plenty, and I would say let's do 20 for everyone, right? Right? Why not? Because right now, most roads, we've like advocates fought for a decade to get Sammy's Law, and now, like, I don't know, a very small, I think a single digit percentage of roads have actually changed to 20. But so we have a 25 mile an hour speed limit, but a speed camera doesn't issue a ticket until you go 36. Mm. So this new law is saying bikes 15, Ford F-150, 36. I think that's not quite right. Yeah. But I also think 15 miles an hour in a bike lane is maybe somewhat reasonable.
Well, we need to wrap it up, but I have one more question that I want to get to, because this is a show about things you see on your Facebook page, and this is something that is a pet peeve of mine and Charlie's. Can we get photo number 8 up, please? An enormous Ford truck with multiple images.
It's actually the next photo, I think.
The big truck.
Yeah.
An enormous Ford truck with multiple images of the comic book character Deadpool graphically committing suicide has been parked in a no parking zone on our block for 5 straight days.
Oh, this is your picture.
I took this, yeah.
So we live near a police precinct and an auto garage. Employees of both usually park there with impunity. We looked up this truck's license plate using an amazing tool, How's My Driving, and we discovered that the driver has paid over $10,000 in parking tickets over the past 5 years, which, you know, that sounds like a lot, right? Except that's $2,000 a year, and a garage costs an average of $500 a month. So he's saving $4,000 a year by parking illegally and occasionally getting a ticket. How can our next mayor get the cops to actually enforce parking regulations?
Whoa.
You're gonna make Sypha take public transit.
No, this is not my truck, but I need to park my truck. Oh, man.
But Sypha, do you have this really horrible graphic image parked in front of
you? No, but the image is your problem, right? Not the parking. Yeah,
no, it's mostly the parking. The image is just kind of gross.
Wait, so do you think it's worth it to spend $10,000 over the course of 5 years and save on the...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the problem is that we don't charge for our curb and we don't enforce the curb enough. And then if you do get a ticket, you can just eat the tickets, right? So, Keith, what do you think? Zoran has said he wants to take on placard abuse.
Yeah, you have to. We tried to do it a couple of years ago. It did not stick and did not work. You need a mayor who's going to force it. But, like, this is the classic New York thing. It's like, I don't have to park in a garage is this much. I can just park here and I'll take the tickets. Like, I have a car in my district that does this, too. It's an enforcement issue, and it really does come from the mayor to say, we're going to crack down on this. So a mayor who decides to do
crack down on people parking.
Illegally parking.
A lot of, like, this guy.
Why is this illegal? Is it a meter?
It's a no standing.
It's a no parking zone. But in New York City, a no parking zone means yes parking for people with placards, which is anybody who's ever met a cop and they gave him a business card one time.
But is this a placard?
Well, here's the thing. It's tinted windows, and it's an F-150. It is so high up that I couldn't see if there was a placard on a dash.
This is an enforcement issue, but it's also a pricing issue, right? Because it's economically incentivizing him to park at the curb.
Yeah.
An F-150 takes up about the same amount of square footage as a bedroom.
Yeah, studio apartment.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So he's functionally getting a studio apartment-sized piece of land in the most expensive place in the entire country for $10,000 a year.
$2,000
a year, excuse me, yes.
Yeah.
So it's like the way that we're pricing the land on the street is way too low. There's a great 900-page book about parking that I can't... There's some Donald Shoup fans in the house.
We got any Shoup pieces here?
The book is called The High Cost of Free Parking. It's really, without the footnotes, it's only 700 pages. And let me tell you, it is a breezy 700 pages for a book that's entirely about parking. And it's all about how we don't price parking at what the social cost of that parking is.
And you think it should be more or less?
More. Parking and I have a car. More.
It's free right now.
I don't like to park illegally. I drive every day, right? I'll pay the meter, but the parking lot by the Comedy Cellar is $1,100 a month to just go to. I don't even make that. I make $25 a set. Like, it's not.
But there is a city bike dock nearby.
I had to ride
West 4th Street's always dock.
I had to ride a city bike during Gay Pride Parade because I couldn't get to the Comedy Cellar. And it was really nice. I liked it.
All right, good. Yeah, all right. We're going to win you over.
I was worried about where that sentence was going to land. Halfway through the sentence, I was like, oh, no. And then it
all right, I want one last parking thing because we're talking about parking. The prior photo, if we could get that up, because, Keith, I know you're going to want to talk about this. So there's a new waterfront park that is opening at 34th Street and the East River in Keith's district. A parking lot on the edge of the East River at 34th Street has been cleared out to make way for an outdoor public gym.
Ooh.
NYU has been leasing the land from the city to park 70 cars for decades, with the rent recently set at about $10,000 a month, meaning NYU is paying the city $10,000 a month for these 70 parking spaces.
For each parking space?
No, total, for the whole lot. For on the waterfront. So it's such an obvious win for your district, Keith, and it just blows my mind that any inch of our waterfront would be dedicated to parking. On the west side, we had a tow pound taking up a massive amount of our waterfront, which is now a public park.
I can feel the ghost of Robert Moses clawing his way to your apartment.
Now, what is happening? Why is everybody so anti-car?
That's the show, Sypha. I should have told you ahead of time.
I was having a good time until the last 5 minutes.
But we tricked you into saying you like city bikes.
Listen, I'm from the rap world. My fans are dangerous. I have to hide in my car.
Fair. Even your young fans are dangerous, as we've established.
No one has said shit to me on the subway. So
yeah, can
I get it.
Is there like a clause where I can be like, yo, my fans are dangerous?
Yes. Sypha, you had to dress like Tom Hanks. Did you see that picture we put up
earlier? That was really him?
That was really him.
Here's what we need, Cypher. We need to make it so expensive for most people to park. We need to raise congestion fees and to get all the cars off the road so that the people that really need it, like you, then can drive into the city.
I work at night. I can't. The congestion price is killing. You know what? Forget it.
All right. I have one question about this, Keith, which is I did note in the Gothamist article, it said that this is a temporary gym and that there will be some logistical challenges to make this a permanent public space. Why is that? Why can't we just make it a park?
It's going
to
be a public space. So basically, it's an NYU parking lot right now, and they have been leasing it. And so it's not just for the residents. It's for the people that live around there. We have been looking at it for a long time. Why on the waterfront don't we have more open space, especially on the east side where we need it? If you've been to the west side, you know how great it is. But on the east side, we need some love.
No,
my community board, I see some community board members here. Shout out to the community board. They came to me and they said we wanted to do this. And so we actually got the funding to turn it into a park that will be like a recreational park on the waterfront. And that's going to be to start building out the whole waterfront to make it a lot more accessible to and that's what people deserve. They deserve to have more open space on the waterfront.
There we go.
I agree with that.
All right, we've come to an agreement. All right, it's time to wrap up the show. Cypher, I want to know if you have anything to plug. Any shows, anything you've got going on?
I got tons of shows. I just want to plug my Instagram because that's where everything is.
All right.
Just my name, Cypher Sounds. C-I-P-H-A and the word sounds.
All right, Nicole, yeah. You want to plug your podcast or anything? The Daily Show, obviously.
The Daily Show has a whole marketing team behind them. it's my little podcast called The Climate Deniers Playbook, which I co-host with Climate Town's Raleigh Williams. You can find us wherever you get your podcast. And we have a Climate Town live show coming up on November 2nd, which is next week on one of the days of the week. I don't remember which one, but it's November 2nd. 4th? Whatever. Awesome. Just find me on Instagram. It's on there.
Keith, your council... Your term limited to the council, but I heard you might be running for something else that maybe some people in this room could vote in.
Yes, so I announced last week I'm running for the state assembly starting
Woo!
Next year.
Yeah.
Because I love New York, and don't forget to vote.
All right, great.
We want to say that please come get tickets for our next show, which is the day before Thanksgiving. That's November 26th, ooh, right here at UCB Theater,
nice.
7 p.m. And we are going to be having a drink across the street.
Yeah, they're the Winslow Bar across the street. I believe you get a discount if you say that you were a UCB patron tonight. But we'll be getting a drink over there if anybody'd like to join us. And we want to thank UCB for having us here. We want to thank Tyler Walker, who does our theme music. And we want to remind everybody
to
vote in midterm elections. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse.